8 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneider's producing the operation. You missed football yet, Blake?
Missed it the day it was over.
That's one of the things about the Super Bowl that sucks. Especially that game that was over in the first quarter.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, man, we got to wait a long time.
I missed it after the second quarter is when I missed it.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the good news with the Chiefs, they keep you going until the Super Bowl lately. That's what they do. And then you have the combine. It seems like they haven't had a cup of coffee since the defeat, and already it's time to start looking for the rebuild. So you don't have to, you know, you're not sitting on it and stewing on it a while. You look at the combine, looking at numbers, and then you're gonna have the pro days leading up to the draft. So everything moves pretty quick. And then as soon as you have the draft, then you've got rookie minicamps, then you got OTAs, and all of a sudden, boom, they're in St. Joe in training camp once again. So having this extended season every year has been nice for fans.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if that's the only con that the Chiefs have to face since they've been in the Super Bowl three straight years, I don't think any fan is going to complain too much about that short gap that they've got from the end of the season to getting ramped right back up into the combine.
Well, I remember people were talking about, you know, the lack of Chiefs fans there, which there were quite a bit in New Orleans, but how the Eagles fans, and here's the thing. When you're there so many times, there's only so much money people have going around. And if they spent the bank to go to the Chiefs, the first one they won again in Miami against the Niners, they're probably like, well, they haven't seen a Super Bowl since 1970. Then they're going to find a way to get down to Miami. They're going to find a way to get the tickets. They're going to find a way to pay for the hotel, the airfare. You name it. Hell, I even knew people that drove down to Miami for that game. They did it. And I know that one year was COVID, a little bit different. But then you had the one in Phoenix. You had the one in Vegas. So there has been other opportunities for a city our size to go to the Super Bowl. You can't go to them all. It is a very big expense to keep doing that.
Not unless you're bringing in Buku, Scrooge McDuck-type money pits.
But you know how the Chiefs were kind of the villains? Well, they are the villains. They're the villains in the NFL. People got tired. People are going to get real tired of the Eagles.
I think they already are.
Because the Eagles are extremely cocky. They weren't a very popular team going into it, but they were kind of lesser of two evils for people that didn't like the Chiefs.
Yeah, here's the problem.
But you're going to get tired of the Eagles.
I think people are already tired of the Eagles. The only reason anybody rooted for the Eagles was because the bigger villain, the Kansas City Chiefs, were in the Super Bowl. Had it not been, whoever from the AFC would have gone, the entire United States, or football fans in general, would have voted and rooted for whoever was playing the Eagles. Nobody likes the Eagles. A lot of people don't like their fans. I just don't think that they are the new team.
It would have been overwhelming, Detroit and all that. I mean, obviously, if that was Detroit, but it wasn't them. It was Philadelphia. Yeah. I always thought Philadelphia was a better team going forward anyway. I know they had some drama and stuff behind the scenes, but a team's good, man.
They were a complete team. From top to bottom.
A team is good, man. The team is good. So the NFL had the new kickoff rule last year, right? It was only implemented 1 year guaranteed. I hated it. I thought it was dumb. It was weird. The kickoff rule. I hate the fact that you can't just sit there and onside it, because we've seen onsides in the Super Bowl. Remember Sean Payton did it?
I remember, you know, Pat McAfee doing it.
He did the onside. But the bottom line is, it was the element of surprise. In college football, you can still do it. You know, you'd come back from halftime and maybe do it as a surprise. You couldn't do it, and you could still do it, but you had to declare you're doing it.
And that's the dumbest rule I've ever heard.
So you're not catching anybody off guard.
That's like saying, hey, just so you guys know, it's 3rd and 1. We're going to run it, just so you know, but we have to tell you now.
Well, it's like the tackle eligible, right?
Yeah.
You got to identify yourself there, but they rarely throw to them.
Yeah, and that I understand. That causes confusion with alignment.
But the NFL is now considering changing overtime rules in the regular season, according to ESPN, to decrease the advantage for teams that win the coin toss. Like you have in the postseason, right? You get there and everybody's going to have a chance. You'll get to the postseason. You got a chance for the coin toss, and you both quarterbacks get an opportunity. You know why the rule has changed? Because the Chiefs beat the Bills. They won the coin toss. Mahomes scores a touchdown. Boom, bang, bing. We know the rest of what happened. And Chiefs had tried to change the rule before then, because people forget, really, really do forget. Because I heard this talked about a lot, that Bills-Chiefs game and how they won the toss and they go down and score and the Bills were mad and they changed the rules. And it wasn't because of the Chiefs. They changed the rules because of the Bills.
Yeah, they didn't care the year before.
No, because they were crying and whining. The first year, 2018, the Chiefs lost to the New England Patriots in the AFC title game in overtime. Why? Tom Brady won the coin toss and scored a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes never got a chance to do that, but they didn't change the rules. The NFL did not change it.
And the Chiefs were huge proponents that year. They were screaming from the top of the roof saying, hey, man, that ain't fair.
It didn't change until it happened to the Buffalo Bills. And people forget that it happened to the Chiefs. Like, they don't, like, it's not even in their memory. When the talking heads, which are really embarrassing themselves, you know, the ESPN, the NFL Network, the whole crews, are really embarrassing themselves because they don't bring it up.
No.
They don't deal in the world of facts. They just deal in the world of fantasy and what sounds good and what fits their narratives. It's really aggravating. I mean, I love these shows and I love to watch them, but to be honest with you, at the Super Bowl, I couldn't stomach it because just how bad it was getting. The fact, rarely, yeah, it was talked about how bad Mahomes was in the Super Bowl because he was and the team was bad, but never really was it talked about that he'd gone to the AFC title game or the Super Bowl every year of his career. No other quarterback can say that. They can't.
Not even Tom Brady.
In the whole narrative of the fact that they play all these extra games, no one talks about. Everybody talks about they rested all their players in Denver. And everybody thought the Chiefs were the devil for doing it.
Yeah.
But they didn't bring up the fact that Josh Allen played one play week 18 against the Patriots. One play. And the only reason he played it, so he could keep his consecutive start streak going. He played one play and then was out. The Rams rested almost everybody, but everybody loves the Rams. Everybody's all Americans. No one said a word.
I never got that, Bink. Everybody, Twitter sphere, the social media sphere was on fire talking about how, oh, the Chiefs basically just didn't want the Bengals in the playoffs, blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, that is a staple of
all
what teams do
it.
That every year. They've done it for the longest time.
And I guarantee you, if the Bengals had locked up the one seed, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Burrow, they're not playing.
No.
They're not. They're not going to care if the Chiefs get into the postseason or not, if roles were reversed. They wouldn't give a damn. They wouldn't give a rat's ass if KC made the playoffs. So screw them. They can cry all they want. You know what? Take care of business and get to the postseason. Because you know what? You watch the whole postseason on the couch.
Yeah, win more games. I don't know. Don't lose to the Patriots. Sorry.
But Troy Vincent said the competition committee agrees overtime rules need to be addressed. Receiving the ball becomes more of an advantage than pre-2011 when overtime was a sudden death period. Receiving teams won 56.8%. So that's not like completely overwhelming. That's more than half, but 56.8% of games in overtime from 17 to 24 up from 55% from 2001 to 2011. Current rules give both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime unless a touchdown is scored on the first possession. The rules are different in the playoffs. Both teams get a chance to have a possession, which is fine with me, but here's the article. That postseason change came after the Buffalo Bills lost to the KC Chiefs in a divisional round game in January 2022. It doesn't at all bring up that it happened to the Kansas City Chiefs. It happened to the Chiefs and Tom Brady doing it, but nobody cares when the GOAT goes down and does it, right?
Well, that was
no one cares.
That was when teams actually started to address it vocally. That's what they should have said. It gained traction in 2018, but wasn't implemented until 2020.
Not only that, Mahomes is a step closer to Tom Brady in total Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Because if they end up winning that game, let's say they go on to the Super Bowl and beat the Rams, because the Rams were not, the Chiefs were awesome against the Rams. They lost that game against, it was like 54-50. Remember that game? But the Rams were terrible in the Super Bowl. That team got worse as the season went on. They did make it. New England beat them. Rams didn't even score 10 points. Remember, it was like 10-6 or something like that.
Yeah, it was ugly.
It was an ugly game. And would Mahomes have one closer? Would he have four Super Bowl rings and Brady only six? And Mahomes only being two behind him? There's a lot of questions on that. The other thing, too, is how the NFL, and I've heard a lot of talk, the computer chip in the football, which I'm 100% for. You know what they're going to do? What they want to do is a virtual measuring system to determine first downs in 2025. I'm 100% for technology and doing it. Like, let's do it. They're still going to have the chain gang, but they're going to be the backup.
Which so I don't know why.
So if it wasn't working, the chain gang would come out and do their deal, which is fine with me.
I'm cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm cool with that. I still don't think it would have beeped for Josh Allen, but.
But it notifies officiating as instantly if first down was gained, but it's still spotted by the official. They still spot the ball. But here's the thing. And here's the one thing I don't hear him talking about with the computer chip. That's great in theory, right? But it doesn't show when your knee went down.
Yeah.
Because it's important where the ball is when your knee goes down. Now, you could sit there and your knee could go down and you could extend it past the first down, and the tracker is saying the ball with the chip in it, it clipped the first down marker, but it's where your knee went down and where the ball was when your knee hit and not when you extended it, which does make the difference. It's what makes the difference on the goal line. Did you extend the ball past the goal line before your knee went down, or where was the football when your knee hit the ground? And that's the part the computer chips will never be able to figure out.
Here's what I foresee, Bink. This is exactly what's going to happen. They're going to implement this rule. They might just do it in the preseason, see how it goes, or they're going to implement it throughout the whole season.
It looks like 2025 you're going to see it.
Okay, well, then here's what's going to happen. There's going to be so much different controversy. There's going to be a lot more challenge flags thrown because you don't know where the knee went down, that they're going to start making first downs just automatically reviewable. If they implement it and don't implement it properly, they're going to start having every first down is reviewed, just like every scoring play is reviewed. That's what I foresee happening.
Well, Mike Garofolo from NFL Network said Wednesday that the NFL is slated to move to the Hawkeye virtual technology for first downs in 2025. This from the New York Post. Okay. Says the NFL said that an average of 12 weekly measurements took place in 2024. They still have to vote on this. We'll see where it goes. But it still requires the officials to be on the field. They're still going to have to be out there. And we saw it a little bit last year during the preseason. But it needs to be tweaked. And the NFL is not like baseball, where they've done the ABS a lot in AAA and they're doing it a few times, you know, with regular major league teams not quite ready to go to ABS, the automatic balls and strikes system. But they don't have the advantage to go do that because there's no AAA in football.
I mean, they could do the XFL, AFL?
Yeah.
USFL, whatever it is now.
But they're not going to do that.
I mean, that's where they got the kickoff rule from.
Yeah, and here's another one. Here's the New York Post saying the Bills lost. The Chiefs held on for a win. Of course they're going to bring up that game. Always going to bring up that game, man.
Bills lost. I'm not even going to get into it. Not even going to get into it, Bink.
No,
You're working me up back here, man.
Fits the narrative for them. And you're going to see a lot of the same thing next year. It's going to be Josh Allen, the MVP talk. Boy, you watch the award ceremonies.
No.
Once again, Chiefs, don't watch it if you're a Chiefs fan, because they're never going to win an award.
No.
They weren't even up for any, except for Andy Reid was up for Coach of the Year, but of course
he's
not going to get it.
Which he never gets, and I don't get it.
Won it once. 2002. Once at once.
Yeah, never with the Chiefs, where he's had consistency.
Belichick's won it like three or four times, so don't give me the, you got to be bad to get it, because he's won it by being good
before.
Kevin Stefanski's won it twice. Matt Nagy's even won it as many times as Andy Reid.
I think Dan Campbell should have won it at least once. With his performances the last couple of years.
He didn't win it either. You go to Kevin O'Connell to win it.
It's because we only care about one. We only care about one award, all right? That's the Super Bowl trophy above your head.
That's the only thing that matters.
It's the only thing that matters.
It's the only thing that matters. That is so true. It's kind of what people in Kansas City go for. I remember 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, like they weren't up for anything. Like Spags went up for assistant coach of the year, nothing. But yet, it doesn't matter. It shows you kind of the mark of the team that they've been, that they don't have anybody winning these individual awards. They just go out and win they win Super Bowls. That's what they care about. And they're pissed. And they want to make rights from wrong. Mahomes out there tweeting about with the last dance for Kelce coming back. Kelce's going to come back for one more year, right? Last dance.
It's the last ride.
He cut his hair, man.
Hey, well, I'm telling you, watch out.
That quarterback series looked like he was going to do it anyway. He says with his age and having kids and stuff, he was going to cut his hair. Well, he's cut it, man.
Is he
going to go scorched earth?
Social media blew up about it. They said, oh, the king cut his hair. You know what that means, revenge tour.
I hope so. I hope they have this attitude next year just to go out and put it to teams. I hope that's the attitude. I mean, they embraced the villain role. Everywhere they were going, they were getting booed. It's been much different. They're not the lovable guys anymore, man. Early on, Mahomes was getting in his career, was getting all the kudos and commercials and everything, and Kelce was, but everybody got tired of everything, right? Everybody got tired of anything Kansas City Chiefs. But the funny thing is everybody still watched them. Remember everybody's going to boycott the Super Bowl, but yet was the most watched ever? Four of the top five shows on TV were Chiefs games.
It's because
of all television. You know what? People said they were going to watch them. They did. Newsflash, you did.
There's a great like social study of when people overtly love somebody or when they overtly hate somebody. Either way, you're getting the same amount of press. Whether you're talking bad about them, guess what? You're giving them press time. People wanted to watch that. They said they were going to boycott the Super Bowl. They didn't because they wanted to see the Chiefs lose, and I love that.
Yeah, they do it. The Chiefs
hate us all you want.
They bring in numbers.
But you're going to watch us.
They bring in numbers. Like the NFL owes them. They do. They were the first ever team on Amazon Prime. Remember first game? They were the first night game on Thanksgiving back in the day in, what, 07? Because it was always Detroit and Dallas. Still is, those two teams, but the Chiefs the first night game on it. They were the first playoff game on Peacock. They were the first Netflix game this year. 913 says, Bink, they're still having humans doing the spot. Just electronic measuring. I think I mentioned that. I said the officials are still doing the spot. Whenever they're spotting it on the ground. But they can review it. My question is, will you be able to do it efficiently knowing where the knee went down when the ball went down? Because that's the stuff that matters. Now, that tush push, that's anybody's guess, man. That's the luck of the draw. Because where that ball ends up, because you used to not be able to push guys forward.
And I've always thought that that was the rule, that you can't actually push guys forward.
You used to not be able to do it.
Forced.
Used to not be able to do it. They changed it. Was it 07, 08, something like that. Okay. The NFL changed the rule, but used to not be able to do it.
I was in seventh grade.
But hitting the ground matters, and it's going to be debated.
Do you believe that they should outlaw the tush push?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm with you. I think it's a football play. People think it's cheap. I don't care. Only one team really does it successfully.
Unless you're going to outlaw guys pushing guys forward, which we started to see it a lot in the NFL. It was in the open field. Chiefs did it too.
It
was Trey Smith, you name it. I mean, that's the name of the game. You push your running back forward.
Linemen have done it forever.
You just do it. Now, you can't pull them.
Yes.
Like, you got to be behind them. You can't pull them forward. That's still illegal in the NFL. But change the kickoffs back to where they were. I'm sorry, but the onside kick, it was part of the fun. I don't care that kicks weren't being returned or whatever. I don't care. You know what? As Belichick said, just move the kickoff back.
That's what I've been saying.
And now instead of the 30-yard line, they'll spot at the 35, you know, because try to increase their running. Move the ball back for the kickoff. Just do it that way. If you want to see more kicks returned, but it goes against the safety of the league. But, hell, them getting more returns is against the safety of the league. The NFL doesn't know what it's doing.
Here's what I've always thought would be a really cool quirk to add to the kickoff. You want to move it back? Move it back. And if you want to move it back even farther to where it used to be at the 25, if you want to move it back an extra 5 where it's at the 20, so you're not getting as many touchbacks, or if you want to keep it at the 25, that's fine. Start, and this is a little out there, but Bink, I want to know what you think. You're going to improve people, the safety of it, if a kicker kicks the ball and it goes through the uprights on a kickoff. One extra point. Still get the ball. The receiving team still gets the ball. So that means they're still trying for the depth of a touchback. But if it goes in, you get it. Because not that many guys are booting the ball that far. But it would be an interesting little quirk, I always thought.
I can't go that far, man. I'm still a traditionalist of the game.
I'll be the out there one.
You be the out there one. That's fine. I am all for the technology, though. If you haven't used it, the pylon cam has been great. You know what I mean? I'm all for technology. If you got it, use it. And don't give me the excuse the NFL can't pay for it, because you know they can. They print money. I have no idea why NFL Network's not doing as well as it used to be. I have no idea. The NFL prints money. All these international games, they print money. More people are watching this league. This league makes a bunch of money. So the excuses are out the window. By the way, the text line 816 asked me, convert Steele to fullback. Technically, he is. He is a fullback for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, when he was in college at Ball State, and when he was at UCLA, he was a halfback. He actually led the MAC in rushing.
Yeah.
3 years ago, he led the MAC in rushing. But he was a fullback, technically.
And he did play fullback at some positions in some formations this year.
But that's how the Chiefs officially list him anyway, is fullback. They do a lot of one-back sets, so you saw him, you know, back there in one-back sets. But technically, he is that. Who are the Chiefs saying that a lot of these mock drafts, who they have the Chiefs getting?
I see the Harmon kid.
Yeah, Derek Harmon's
Derek
a popular
Harmon
one.
Or the tackle out of Oregon.
Yeah, he's the tackle out of Oregon. We'll discuss that in 913-586-7965. We'll look at the Chiefs and the Combine next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneider's producing the operation. Our phone line, 913-586-7965. The same as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. By the way, Jim Nagy is the new general manager of the Oklahoma Sooners. He's the director of the Senior Bowl, right? He's moving over. He'll be the new GM for Oklahoma Sooners football. That is becoming the prime job, man. Guys that can't quite make it in the NFL, guess what? There's going to be 135 opportunities in Division I to be that guy. Michael Lombardi is doing it for North Carolina, for Belichick. These college teams are running their teams like pro teams now. You have to do that. And you know what? Jim Nagy's doing great. That dude, he knows talent, man. He's been doing the Senior Bowl for a long time. Dude knows valuations. That's going to be a good hire for Oklahoma.
I think it'll be interesting to see now that with the NIL, all these opportunities of guys, like you said, who were in the NFL are seeing like, hey, there's a lot of money flowing in college right now. And it has become more run like professional programs. So why not dip your toe in the pool, see if you can get a bag and see if you can turn a program around?
Well, I said a couple of years ago when Neil came out that the separation between a college coach and a pro coach has never been as close as it is now. And to be honest with you, NFL teams probably start grabbing college coaches, to be honest with you. Like Dan Lanning in Oregon, I could see that being an NFL hire at some point. Dan Lanning's from the area. Park Hill South was his first coaching job. He's at Oregon now doing a great job. But the bottom line is it's so similar because you never had to worry about this. Coaches, they held the keys. It was basically a series of one-year deals to have, you know, a scholarship. And pulling a scholarship was big and important to a player because that's a ton of money. And when that's given or pulled, they'd make a difference too, telling you you can't move in conference. And now with the transfer portal, you can go wherever the hell you want. And not only that, but the Senior Bowl's taking hits too. Because even last year, the depth, like rounds 5 through 7 were taking hits because guys are deciding, well, they were taking advantage of that fifth year that they got during COVID. That extra year, so the guys were taking advantage of that. You're starting to see that weaned out at this point. But now the NCAA grants hardships and everything else from injuries and everything. Guys are staying in school because they're doing what Will Howard did. Took a ton of money to go to Ohio State from Kansas State. Guys are taking that 1 year and they're going into it. South Dakota State just lost their quarterback to Iowa. Gronowski is going from, he won 2 national titles in South Dakota State. In FCS, he's going to be the quarterback at Iowa.
And that's normally the type of guy that would play all 3-4 years and maybe brought that school 3 championships.
Oh, he did, but he's got that extra year, so he's
that's
going to
saying.
Iowa. Yeah, and he's
taking
advantage of nil. But it has changed what teams are doing, 100% changing it. 913, Bink, would you rather get a left tackle in the draft or in free agency? I think I'd rather get Ronnie Stanley and take a flyer in the third or later in the draft. No left tackle for me, unless you want to get really down and get like a Will Campbell, maybe. I don't know. I don't think sitting at 31 you're going to get that guy. You're going to have to move down. I mean, you look at some of the top tackles in the draft and where they're going to go. Will Campbell could go as high as 4th, and I think he will, to New England, sitting at 4. Where else are you going to go at offensive line? Armand Bimbo. Mimbu at Mizzou is going to be – he's a right tackle by trade, but probably going to play in the interior. And I tell you, man, the arm length stuff, you think I'm silly about it, but and it is in the weeds, but it is important. Andy Reid's average left tackle has been 34 1/4 inch arms. Like Tooney's was 32 1/4. That's 2 inches shorter than what he prefers the reach on his left tackle, and you saw it come to fruition in the Super Bowl.
Well, and it's such an important detail because with the athleticism progression of defensive ends and how fast they are. You got to be able to hand fight a lot quicker and have a lot more length on you at tackle now.
And it's up Vanders. CBS Sports, Chris Trapasso has put out a mock. He's got Luther Burden of Missouri going at 31. Luther Burden is, before the season started, you know, people were considering him the number one receiver. Ted Arroyo McMillan kind of took that took the reins over for the, and I understand why. He's 6'5". I mean, the guy's unbelievable. Which direction he's going to go? But different mocks, a lot of the mocks have the Chiefs, and it's an easy pick for people to do. They go lineman, and here's Armon Membo of Missouri going 31 in this mock draft by Bleacher Nation that I'm looking at now, which they're not going to take a guard in the first round. And now it is probably going to be changed by people because of, you know, obviously getting the tag for Trey Smith. Here's one. Here's USA Today's, what they put at 31. They go safety for the Chiefs. Nick Amonwori. They're not going safety in the first round.
Especially like not when you have Jaden Hicks that can replace Justin Reed.
Like, some of these mocks get lazy to me. Like, why the hell would the Chiefs draft a safety in the first round?
I believe it was NFL. They had Donovan Jackson. Well, somebody had Donovan Jackson, the guard from Ohio State. Again, that's a double no.
Pro Football Network.
Ohio State, no. And guard, no.
As Emmanuel Igbuka, which is fine. It's a receiver out of Ohio State. But yeah. I don't think there's any way in hell he's going to be there at 31. And again, it would have to go against the grain of what Veach does and take an Ohio State guy.
I know you've touched on this, but a lot of people are projecting line, and you're kind of saying you're not for it, correct?
I wouldn't do line. Last year, they thought they had it solved getting Kingsley. Looked like a coup for the Chiefs. They got a second-round pick that could have been a first-round pick because Kingsley started to be mocked in a lot of first rounds to the Chiefs. That became the hot pick. Now, had the Chiefs gone with conventional wisdom, who ended up helping this team more last year, Kingsley or Xavier Worthy? Because that's who you would have had to sacrifice, Xavier Worthy, if you drafted Kingsley Suamatia in the first round. Who helped the Chiefs more? I think it's Worthy. Pretty obvious that Xavier Worthy did. But first round, sitting at 31, Siobhan Revelle is who we went with in the character concerns, our first mock out of East Carolina. It'd be their fourth first-round pick at East Carolina. They haven't had one since, I think, 07. Not a hotbed, but he's 6'3", about 195 pounds. He could set the edge, could play corner, could play edge, can get there, can do a lot of different things from defensive back. Very fast, quick, towards ACL this year. That's why he's starting to slide on some draft boards, but I don't think a lot of people care because he can play. Or I'd go Derek Harmon out of Oregon defensive line because I think the quality of player you can get at corner or defensive tackle is better than wide receiver. And damn it, I'd rather have a wide receiver. I mean, I would still, I just bulk that position up. I would bulk that position up for Mahomes. You saw your number one and two basically hurt all year, and you had to deal with that. And it hurt what this team was, their philosophy of how they wanted to be a down-the-field team. Josh Connerly Jr. goes in the Pro Football Network's mock draft at 31. The Draft Network, had Connerly out of Oregon going to the Chiefs. Again, do you trust a rookie left tackle for the Chiefs? Do you really trust a rookie day one starter? Because don't forget, Wanye started initially at the OTAs. And then once they got to St. Joe, it quickly became Kingsley being the starter at left tackle. How'd that work out?
Well, and he was on the rave in training camp, but then just when it came time to get under the lights, eyes got big and could not perform. Now, that doesn't mean that Kingsley won't somehow make a leap from year one to year two. Offensive tackle, especially left tackle, is hard to do.
Unless he's moved the guard, but if you bring back Trey Smith, there's not that need unless he's a backup.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean that Kingsley can't. It just means he's got a long road ahead of him if he wants to.
Yeah. 913 has asked me thoughts on Bolton now that Smith is tagged. I think Bolton, there's no way they're going to break the bank on him. They've made a decision. It's Trey Smith over Nick Bolton.
And I think that's the smart
move. I'm good with, because it's something that helps Mahomes. You ask yourself, what can help Patrick Mahomes?
Especially after the year that Leo Chenal had. I think they feel very, very confident in his level of play and being able to possibly step up in that position.
He can do a lot of things. And I think, you know, Drew Tranquil came in here and outperformed kind of what they thought he would do, even though when he was in L.A., he was awesome. Like, he was awesome with the Chargers. I think Chiefs got a bargain deal. I think it was one of the best free agent signings 2 years ago when they brought in Drew Tranquil. Because Nick Bolton ended up getting hurt for a lot of the year, and the green dot guy was Drew Tranquil.
Oh, yeah. And he ran just like a middle linebacker should. When really he's kind of a – well, he was touted as more of a cover guy. He didn't have as much this year. Anyway, I also think linebacker's kind of that position like running back where the great ones are great, of course, but you can find guys to fill in and do what you need them to do.
Yeah, they just got to get back that 2022 draft, man, because it is going to make a difference. I mean, yes, tight end would have been imperative because there are some good – Gunnar Helm's a guy I really like. They wouldn't have been a first-round tight end. He's the tight end out of Texas. He wasn't even on the radar because he was behind Jatavion Sanders. He's actually probably better than Jatavion Sanders was, to be honest with you. Extremely athletic. He led Texas in catches. Gunnar Helm is his name, but I don't think that's the direction they're going to go with tight end if Kelce comes back. Because need defensive line. They're probably going to have to throw in a lineman at some point. You know, they're probably going to do a corner as well. But you only have 6 picks. You can't do a ton. And you're going to need receivers. Maybe you make a deal, swing, and get the Cooper Kupp in here. He is 31. But if you add him to the pieces of Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, that becomes a much more competent wide receiver group. But coming next, though, we'll look at some NFL news and notes, and I want to know what Harbaugh's drinking next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders. Some of the text lines asking about Kenneth Walker. He's still got one more year under contract in Seattle, but I don't want a free agent running back. Don't want to pay that free agent tax. That Derrick Henry magic is that now he's out there for everybody else. Because that was some magic. Saquon Barkley, that was some magic. You're not getting that with everybody.
You'd rather get it from the inside than go out and pay money for it. Especially when your team's already supposedly strapped for money.
But who would I take? I mean, obviously, I'd go against that Ohio State thing because they haven't done Ohio State. Trevion Henderson, Keyshawn Junkins, Devin Neal out of Kansas. DJ Giddens out of Kansas State will be a guy in the mid-rounds as well. Caleb Johnson will be gone, I think, early on behind Omarion Hampton. And Austin Jeanty, of course, will be the place he. But there's a lot of running backs to catch the ball in the backfield. It's a very good, deep running back class. And they run on Saturday. If you're looking to see what some of the 40 times are for the running backs and wide receivers, that'll be Friday. How about Jim Harbaugh? I mentioned him. You know, another coach in the AFC West. This is on Pro Football Talk. Jim Harbaugh, no doubt in my mind that Justin Herbert is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. I mean, it's one thing to back up your guys, but it's another thing just to put Justin Herbert out there.
Don't oversell it.
He's never won a playoff game.
No.
He's never won a playoff game. I think Justin Herbert, he's very good. And he's got arm strength, but he's a tad overrated from what people expected out of Justin Herbert. Now, there was a lot of people that were on the train of looking at his draft comparison, saying, will the team really get behind him? He's got a great arm. But does he have that leadership intangibles to get things done? But in the playoffs, he has he's 0-2 in the playoffs at this point. Lost to Houston 32-12 this year, and his first playoff game was in Jacksonville. Remember, they blew a lead. Lost 31-30 to the Jags. 0-2. Mahomes has won 16 playoff games, which is number 2 all time to Tom Brady.
You had to throw that one in there, I mean, just to rub it in.
No, Jalen Hurts is better than Justin Herbert. Patrick Mahomes is better than Joe Burrow's better than him. Josh Allen's better than him. Lamar Jackson's better than him.
I'm in full agreement with you, Bink. And here's the problem. the difference between Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and why Justin can't be in the talks with Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes. He is not a quarterback that makes an okay team better. He can't do it unless he has absolute outstanding weapons around him. He doesn't elevate guys who are twos and threes up to the point that you've seen Patrick Mahomes do. He doesn't do that. Provably, he doesn't do that.
No, he doesn't. And I think a lot of people gain some respect for what Mahomes has done with this team this year. When you see him, they, you know what? And honestly, they didn't have a ton of talent around Buffalo either with Allen. I mean, he was making wine from water as well.
They had Shakir and a rookie in Coleman.
So he was, and he was hurt a lot. Coleman was hurt a lot, but he was doing some things with that team that you weren't expecting either. But Justin Herbert, no thank you. In other news around the National Football League, Travis Hunter, which I think is the best player in the draft. I think he should be number one. I know people want Abdul Carter, you know, the best edge rusher out of Penn State. That's who they want at one. But I'll go Jalen Carter, the Eagles. He went, what, to eighth to the Eagles that year? Remember, he was looked to be number one overall until character concerns came up. How many teams do you think regret not taking him?
I think a lot.
Do you think other teams would have taken him, even though with the character concerns that they had? Because I was like, man, there's going to be teams. Because he actually went ninth. It was ninth pick. I said there's going to be eight teams probably regretting the fact they're not taking the next Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I think maybe back in the day before social media was as big as it is now and you can get news ASAP and they were able to squash stories a little bit more back in the older NFL. You can't do that anymore. So if there's character concerns, teams are going to stay away.
But they were, you know, penalizing him for that.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like the Colts rather have him than Anthony Richardson? Think the Cardinals rather have Paris Johnson than him? Think the Raiders have Tyree Wilson than Jalen Carter? No. I don't think they would, but again, Travis Hunter, he's going to do drills on offense and defense at the combine. He's registered as a defensive back. He won the award for the best defensive back in the country. He won the best defensive player in the country. He won the Biletnikoff for best receiver in the country. His receiving skills, he didn't get talked about as good as he was. 96 catches last year, the 15 touchdowns receiving. He is a defensive back. Against UCF, he caused that fumble at the goal line. Like, he helped his team win as a luxurious knee-type strip against the Bills to allow his team to win. But he's the best player in the draft to me.
It's funny that Deion coached his sons, and yet Travis Hunter is the most like him.
And one thing about him is he spurned Florida State to go to Jackson State.
Yeah.
So he was supposed to go there, but he turned a lot of heads when he chose to go to Jackson State. He's a better defensive back at Jackson State, I think, than he was at Colorado. But he wants to play both ways in the NFL, 100% too. I mean, he wants to play not just spot playing wide receiver or whatever. He wants to play full-time in both. That's very ambitious. If he was able to do it, I think it might be for 1 year or 2 years. I can't see this being the long term. So I love the attitude. I love it because he's a can't do or a don't tell me I can't do it type of guy. He's a can do type of guy. Like, I like, he's a football player. I like that attitude. But this is the NFL, man. Guys hit that wall hard when they get to the NFL. They realize just how tough it is.
Yeah. And how much more bumps and bruises you end up taking, how much more physical it is. Now, would we as football fans love to see it? You bet your ass we would. But the probability and likelihood of it is not feasible. But hell, I mean, you know.
Well, the other thing, too, is these teams that want the quarterbacks, right? They want to see these quarterbacks throw, but Stewart's not going to throw. You know, he's going to be throwing at the pro day. The pro days are becoming much more important than the combine now because guys are doing the drills then. And they'll probably end up regionalizing this thing, to be honest with you, at some point doing that. But these quarterbacks, you know, you look at Shadur and say, all right, that's a guy that we see leading our franchise. I mean, I like Cam Ward a lot, and I've liked Cam Ward a lot the last 2 years. But is he the guy? Did Atlanta look at this and say, you know what? No, he just paid the bag to Kirk Cousins last year, but they drafted Michael Penix in the top 10. People are like, what the hell are you doing? Because they did draft Bijan when they had Tyler Allgeier. But maybe they looked at the 25 class, the 26 class, and said, you know what? We have a chance to get Michael Penix here. Let's take him.
I think what Atlanta did was extremely smart. It reminds me a little bit of like when the Chiefs drafted Patrick.
Because this year, he probably probably right there with Cam Ward as far as the first quarterback taken. Penix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I still think Travis Hunter's better, but I don't see these guys. And here's the thing. Free agents like Sam Darnold, they're going to get the bag, man. They're going to get it. You know why? Would you pay him that? No. I mean, logical people say, I wouldn't have paid Dak Prescott what the Cowboys did.
I would never have paid Dak.
This is a quarterback-starved league. Everybody wants the Mahomes. Everybody wants the Burrow. Everybody wants the Allen. Everybody wants that quarterback to change things. And who knows, the Raiders, they might get Matt Stafford. And everybody's making a big deal about Tom Brady's meeting with Matt Stafford. I don't know if you heard about that. They went skiing together or whatever. He hosted him like at his house, supposedly. But here's the thing. They both have houses in like that ski community in Montana. So chances of them bumping into each other is pretty strong. Same ski resort. But again, is he trying to lure him to the Raiders? Probably. I mean, he's got to figure out, are you a broadcaster or are you an owner? Because he has a lot to do with what they're doing with the Raiders. And if they bring in Stafford, all of a sudden you have Stafford, Mahomes, Herbert, Bo Nix. I mean, all of a sudden the quarterback quality in this division in the AFC West is good. The coaching quality in the AFC West is top-notch. I mean, Sean Payton, Andy Reid. Well, Reid's won multiple Super Bowls. Sean Payton's won. Pete Carroll's won. Been the two. Should have won two. But he decided to throw. And again, Tom Brady got a Super Bowl ring because of that decision by Pete Carroll not to run the football with Marshawn Lynch, but to throw it.
Harbaugh's been.
So there's two rings right there Tom Brady's gotten by fortune. Being
well, and Tom is seeing the division for what it should be. I mean, you can't have two teams without a quarterback. You have to have a quarterback in the AFC West. You have to. It's not going to work if you don't, because you got to go through Patrick Mahomes. You have to have a quarterback.
Yeah, 100%. You got to do it. But anyway, it's just interesting because everybody's looking for that guy. Everybody wants that quarterback. But we'll talk about that. Who's going to be the actual contender? Because, you know, will the Chiefs win it again, the AFC West, or will somebody actually win it? We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back. Final segment after hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Snyder's producing the operation. NFL Combine going strong. Whoever's competing. It's good for depth. The interviews are important. More and more guys opting not to do it until they get to the pro day. Man, I think sometimes it's buyer beware, man. It's buyer beware on what you're going to get because you want guys to compete. But it's watered down at this point. You have defensive backs and tight ends going tomorrow between 2 and 8. You have quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs going on Saturday from noon to 8. Sunday, you've got the offensive line from noon to 4 p.m. That's what you're going to get. The quarterbacks, you saw Sam Hartman run last year. That was it. That was it for the quarterbacks. Although, wouldn't you say it's becoming more important with quarterbacks and get out and run, how fast they are?
I would say so. I mean, especially with how mobile everybody's gotten in the league.
Yeah, they have. I mean, it's kind of the way things are going. The trend in the National Football League is to do it. But these quarterbacks are interesting, and it's so nice that the Chiefs don't really have to worry about that. I mean, that is such a crucial position. It's amazing. It's amazing that teams still don't get it, right? Like Will Levis, you know, we're not working him out like they did in Tennessee. You know, we're sitting here doing a podcast in Kansas City, me and Chris, and we're like, don't take Will Levis. Don't take Will Levis. But yet they're the NFL's brightest minds at the point. Of course, they've all been fired now, but they took him. It's like, what are you doing? Brock Purdy slides the last pick in the draft. And that guy's been to a Super Bowl. He's been in MVP conversations. Like, how does Brock Purdy slide? Like, that's the one thing that guys are talking to your family, your friends, your coaches. They're finding everything about quarterbacks that you can. Like, how was Anthony Richardson drafted by the Colts?
I mean, he is a freak athletic specimen, but is he a quarterback? That's the thing there. And I see why. They got tricked.
How much do you like football? There's a lot of intent. How much do you guys like you? Will you do like Patrick Mahomes and sit there and play video games with all the guys and don't be like better than they are and just be one of the dudes? Like Joe Burrow's one of the dudes. Josh Allen's one of the dudes. You know, are you going to be one of the dudes or are you going to act like a prima donna? And you be Joe Flacco.
And you know that because Pat and Josh hang out in the offseason together because they're just a couple of dudes.
A couple of dudes in fighting that position. It's why, you know, they want to cap the quarterback position, you know, for their some of the money they're making. Like cap it at $50 million or $55 because it's getting out of control what quarterbacks are making because they're starting to take up a significant chunk of the cap. They are. And they basically want to cap what the maximum quarterbacks can make is. That's what they want to do so it doesn't get out of hand, even though it's getting crazy out of hand right now. Like, the whole contract Mahomes has, that's like nothing now compared to what these guys are getting.
Yeah.
Guys like Dak Prescott are getting the bank. Kirk Cousins got the bank. I mean, quarterbacks are getting paid ridiculous money because everybody wants that guy. If I'm the Chiefs, I'm not for that because they're already paying their quarterback the top cap money of any quarterback that's won a Super Bowl. So they're doing it right because what that means is you have to be good doing everything else. That means you have to be good in trades. That means you have to trade a Parker Anger for a Charvarius Ward. That means you have to get pick 58 from the Ravens, which turned into Nick Bolton. That means you have to draft Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round. You got to be smarter than everybody and better than everybody, and they've proven to do it. Because the only area of this team getting plucked, it's not the coaching staff, man. They're not taking them. I mean, Reed and those guys wouldn't go anywhere anyway, but Spagnuolo didn't get, you know, hiring cycle. Dave Tobe's gone through the hiring cycle before and never got anything. You know, Bieniemy never got anything head coaching-wise either, but the front office does. Chris Ballard got taken from the front office. He's the GM of the Colts. Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, came from the Chiefs organization. Mike Borgonzi was the assistant general manager. Look at him. He's the GM now of the Tennessee Titans. Like, they're taking the personnel guys. They're not getting Veach. But they're going for the personnel guys because that's Chiefs have been really good at it. Yeah, they miss on some, yeah, but you can't look at it through a microscope. All teams miss. All teams miss on their players. The Patriots used to miss on a ton of players in the draft.
Well, and it's kind of the same. Like, people were trying to poach the Patriots organization, whether it was coaches or front office guys. Now they're trying to do that to the Chiefs, and they have been. I mean, look at Andy Reid's tree. Look at Belichick's tree. They all got poached at one point. Some of them came back. Look at Nagy. He had his chance.
Well, McDaniel kept going back there. Yeah. He had his chance, but he kept running back, tail between the legs, New England. Romeo Crennel didn't pan out for him.
That was the Matt Patricia.
Bill O'Brien, he from the Patriots tree as well. And he's been okay in college, at Boston College. He's been okay, not great. But everybody wants somebody from that tree. That seems to be where everybody goes. And the bottom line is, unless you have that mastermind, like, you can keep grabbing Chiefs offensive coordinators, but it's Andy Reid calling the plays.
Exactly.
It is. And Spags is doing the defense. And who wouldn't want a Spags? But you know what? Hey, it's Chiefs gain that he's staying here. 100% the Chiefs gain that he's staying here. The staff staying together. That's important, man. Because look at the Eagles. They keep losing guys. They lost again the offensive coordinator this year. And the year before it was Steichen, you know, going to Indy and Arizona. I mean, they keep losing their guys. But if you keep your guys, it's much different. Blake Sneeders producing the operation. Good work with you again, Blake. Fun stuff, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Pink. Thanks, buddy. Been a great show.
It's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun always talking NFL. Going to go home and watch some Combine, man. Go watch some Combine defensive line. It's still going on. They're going to reshow at the NFL Network. And, of course, I record the stuff, too. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.